Hey, good day, everyone. This is Rob Aspero, and I'm with the Viral Volley Podcast, and I am so excited to have this guest on today. She's been an incredible mainstay in all of volleyball, and if you don't know who she is, I don't know what rock and what planet and other solar system you've been in, but this is Miss Kerri Walsh Jennings, who's just been a phenomenal ambassador of the game. Four-time AVCA All-American at Stanford, five-time Olympian, one indoor, four beach, 21 consecutive match wins, four Olympic medals, three gold, one bronze. And like I said, one of the most radiant and welcoming personalities in volleyball. Thanks for joining me today, Kerri.
Oh, Rob, that's also nice. Thank you for having me.
So easy to chat with you just because you're one of, like I said, one of the most welcoming personalities I've come across in the in any volleyball event. So I appreciate just your warmth and your welcome.
Well, likewise, you know, I feel like attracts like, and you get what you give. So you might as well give kindness. And yeah, well, you have always been exceptionally kind and happy and sincere. And I appreciate that so much. And I think, as you know, our sport is just full of wonderful human beings. So I've just had the privilege of being around the game for 30 years, 20 years professionally, and I've met the coolest people, and you have been part of my journey. It just makes it all so rich and rewarding.
Well, that's so good to hear. So I wanted to bounce some questions off you today. Just get that, I guess, the inside of Kerri Walsh Jennings. But the most basic question I want to hit you up with is a softball one, but it's how did you start playing volleyball?
Oh. Well, it's actually not a softball because that's a long time ago now. But I do remember, you know, when you have an experience of true love, you don't forget. And, you know, growing up, I played every single sport. I have a big brother. We're 11 months apart. I was a happy accident. And so I played baseball, basketball, soccer, you know, I played it all. And then when I was 10 in the fifth grade at St. Mary's in Los Gatos, California, the first fall sport that was offered was volleyball. And so I signed up and it was literally love at first sight. Like I just loved everything about it. My friends were playing, my mom was coaching. It was something new and different. It was the first time I ever just played with girls, which I think perhaps subconsciously I felt, you know, really safe, you know, and not kind of the odd man out. And it was just a lot of fun.
Now, it seems like, you know, you had been 13, 14 if you started playing in high school. Is that correct? Was that the age that you were at about?
No, 10. I was 10. Grade. 10.
Okay. I missed that part. Okay. Yeah. It's incredible seeing the talent at such younger levels because having a daughter of my own, she started playing at 7. I'm like, oh, please don't burn out.
I know. That's a very real concern. Well, that's why, you know, it's just like preaching off season. And for me, being a multi-sport athlete throughout my youth and even in high school, it kept the fire burning. It kept the overuse injuries at bay. Largely, I had a shoulder issue pretty early on. But I think just diversity and training and playing is so important. So yeah, keep your girl busy doing other things too.
Will do. Well, here, my next question for you is, so you're involved in so much in such incredible ways, but what have been the key elements to your success in the many roles that you find yourself in as an athlete, a teammate, an entrepreneur, a motivator, an idol, a friend, a mother, and a wife?
Oh, well, man, there's so much outside of me that has contributed to my success, my journey, my ability to keep going, you know, after 30 years. Primarily within me, it's love. It's love for the sport. It's love for the challenges. It's love for the personal development that I've had within every stage of my career, starting when I was 10, throughout high school, college, the Olympic team, indoor and beach. So love has fueled all of it. It's so sincere. And when I love something, Rob, I can endure a lot, you know, because there's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of loneliness when it comes to greatness and pursuit of goals. And, you know, there's a lot of heartbreak, you know, on the path. And so without love, I would have retired a long time ago. My love for winning way outweighs my hatred for losing. Otherwise, I would have retired after my first loss because I love it that much. So love is number one. And then on the outside of me, it's what we kind of already talked about. It's the people. I have been the most fortunate human being with regard to the coach I've had at every level. Like just incredible humans who saw me for who I was, who believed in me when I didn't, who held me accountable, and who had high standards and high expectations for me, which I grew into. And then they prioritized the fundamentals of being a good human and being a good athlete, you know? So I was never able to skip steps. Right. And my teammates, and my partners and my trainers and the fans, you know, all of the humans that I've just been so fortunate to grow up with and to grow with, whether it's on the court, off the court, as an ambassador, as an entrepreneur, the people have made it so worthwhile. You know, they're like, I really believe that I'm the one, I'm the hero of my own journey. You're the hero of your own journey, but it's a collective effort, you know, and the village that you create and surround yourself with, like, makes it possible because it makes it meaningful. And so my people, my village has just been so dope. And kind of the secret to my success is on the shoulders of giants, you know, and fueled by the love and faith and belief and hearts of other people too.
Well, I imagine that the love is also what allows you to balance the different roles that you play in your life too. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, 100%. Well, it's just that there's love there, then there's sincerity there, you know? And like, I love people. I love, you know, just engaging and interacting. And if I say I love you, I mean it with all my heart, even if I don't like you, you know? And I just, I've had, especially, gosh, like, playing volleyball is the easy part. It's like the work, the entrepreneur stuff is gnarly. And, you know, even the ambassador stuff where you're speaking on behalf of, you know, that's a bigger responsibility. And it's just without love, without sincerity, it's just, you, people can feel that. Yeah. You know, so I've had the great gift of being able to be authentically me for all my good and all my bad and all my faults. And people have been accepting of it because I think the love and the sincerity shine through.
Right, right. Well, this is kind of an off the cuff question, but I mean, being, I'm not saying that you're old by any means, but because of the amount of years of experience you've had, obviously you've developed an ability to discern the people who are a part of your journey. Is that
okay? You know, that's probably one of my least good qualities. Like, I just, I have no radar for bad people or for bad intentions. You know, my husband's from Vegas. He has that from like 20 miles away. I'm from Saratoga. I'm from like a bubble in a bubble. And so, like, literally, it takes me a long time to, I'm very discerning, you know, but I love everyone from the get-go and I give them a long leash. You know, and I trust everyone to get going. So when the leash gets cut, it's done because I've tried really hard and I've probably settled for a lot. But the ability to be discerning in life, it comes with age, comes with, you know, living those experiences where you're like, goodness, I probably could have slowed down there, asked more questions there, trusted my gut more there. And I'm really trying to grow into that because I believe that if I'm in touch with my instincts, they never lead me astray. But sometimes the pleaser in me or the one who just, you know, wants to get stuff done settles for less.
Right. Well, how about this? Given the amount of years that you've been playing at the highest levels, it seems that you continue to be refreshed every year, energetic, charismatic, and dynamic in competition. How do you do it?
Oh, Rob, I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm just going to be so redundant. I love it. And I believe I'm really, really provoked by my potential and my weaknesses and what I lack. It excites me. And that's why I'm still playing beach volleyball professionally after 20 years. I'm 42. Like, what the hell am I doing? But I love it so much. And my potential, I know I can keep expanding it and touching it, you know, and getting better. And if I weren't at that place, the fire would be gone, you know, because I'm not here just to play. Like, I'm here to win. And I'm here to, like, to become the best I can be. And so I'm just not there yet. And that gets me so fired up. And one of the gifts of COVID and the pause and the sport going away that I can't compete for a year is that hunger is back in full force. And I haven't had this amount of hunger to compete and to become excellent for a long time. Not that it like ever went away, but sometimes it's just, you know, I have a full plate. I have my family. I have 1440. I have everything and more that I ever need that needs my attention. And, you know, the hunger for volleyball has waned a bit. But it's back. So what a gift.
That's kind of scary to hear because, I mean, playing at the levels you were before, not having this additional hunger, I mean, it was phenomenal to see you play and playing abroad, especially after, I'm going to mention it later, but in Zhangjiang, winning that gold medal, winning a 4-star, and you were playing in such a good rhythm with Brooke. Knowing that you have more on top of that is pretty insane. No.
Oh man. Well, combine that with, I just got my blood work done. I have zero testosterone And I'm like, A, how is that possible? Like, I feel like I'm just so alpha and so, you know, masculine energy sometimes. So that, like, I'm like, oh my God, there's like a literal lion in me waiting to come out. So I can't wait to address that. But no, you know, and what's so interesting, you mentioned Brooke and Xinjiang. Like, A, Brooke is such a rock star. She's such like a, just a secret weapon, you know, that she just keeps shocking the world with how great she is. But we were so terrible. We were so inconsistent our first year, like first full year together. And yet we made, you know, the final day a good handful of times. We won a tournament and we have everything that it takes. And again, the blessing of this pause is that we both were playing in so much fear and just frustration and tension because we wanted to be so great so fast that we got in our own way. And we've like had a couple conversations. The inner work that we're doing since we can't train together has been so powerful. And in a perfect world, we're both committing to playing freely and like literally taking the time to exercise any demon that we have to like, to look into the darkness of us and our fears and to like, just to welcome them and accept them so we can move forward powerfully and win. Cause we are all about consistency at the highest level. And our first year together was not that.
Well, that's interesting. I'm actually going to skip a question because one of my questions actually had that in there. I mean, from an outsider standpoint, your first year was 2019 with Brooke. You have a first place finish and a bunch of top five finishes on the international level. I would think that most people would be like, wow, we're trending upward. But you're, I mean, from what you're saying, like, oh, we weren't good by any means. It's kind of shocked to hear that. But what are your thoughts on your partnership, your potential, and I guess my misperception of where I thought you were at?
Oh, how cute. No, I mean, if you talk to Brooke, I'm pretty positive she'd say the same. You know, it's like, I think we wanted it so bad, we suffocated it, you know, and we both were just playing to be perfect. And that's impossible. And it's just, it's like, it's a recipe for failure to try to live up to perfection, because one mistake becomes like a ginormous mountain when it's literally just a mistake that you need to like shift and adjust, you know? And so I am so just enthusiastic and positive about our potential because we had moments of excellence. You know, Xinjiang is when we put it all together for consecutive matches, but we still had moments of up and down, which happens in sport. But largely we have these physical gifts and talents that very well matches up with the world and who we come up against, but it was our inner demons that got in our way. So I'm just fired up. And we have, again, like, it's such a choice to be excellent. It's a choice to like not settle for anything less than your best. And we just, we didn't settle, but it made us really grumpy and angry and uptight. And we played a whole season like that. And then we started training for 2020 like that. And we wouldn't have won, you know, like I don't win when I'm angry. I don't win when I'm like, you know, like so pissed off for like, for winning in excellence. I win when I have a smirk on my face, when I'm having fun with my partner, and when I can feel my opponents. And I was just so uptight that I couldn't even feel anything. Cause you know, when you hold on too tight, you're just kind of in tunnel vision.
Wow. So I got to ask you, what does it mean in your eyes to be the master of your craft?
I mean, I guess to be the master in volleyball is to be to master my emotions and my focus. And from that, is just the ability to dance whatever's thrown your way, you know, like it's the people who can make the hard look easy. You know, I think those are masters. And me, like when I'm at my best, I'm dancing with the ball, with the game, with the greatness of my opponents. And none of that happens unless I own my confidence, I own my thoughts, and I own my breath. And so that self-awareness leads to everything else. But just mastering the moment allows you to be masterful.
Right. You'd alluded to some of your training during this COVID time, but I'm going to go ahead and ask this and see what you come back with. But, you know, for what there is of an FIVB schedule coming up, what are yours and Brooke's plans for competition and the Tokyo 2021 Olympic qualification in the upcoming months?
Well, we plan on winning a lot. you know, our first tournament, as far as we know, you know, 4-star and above will be March of 2021.
Wow.
So I don't anticipate, unless they add another 4-star or 5-star. 3-stars won't help us. So unless they add more of those, I'm planning on competing like early to mid-March of 2021. So in the meantime, like I'm about to start a strength training block where I'm just going to put on muscle, put on weight. I'm a tank right now. Like, I'm just not, I'm
so
not
weird to hear
fit.
You say that. You are a
Oh
tank.
my gosh.
I must
nutty.
Be a stinking cargo ship.
No, be kind to yourself. I'm really working on my self-talk, but I mean, to be honest with you, I'm a tank. So I have a lot of ability to mold my body and just to refine it. I've healed a lot because I literally haven't had a practice since I think it was March 23rd.
Wow.
Like gnarly,
so you're,
you know,
unplugged from volleyball.
I totally. And well, and that's where their hunger. And I'm like, I got to do this right. I can't be half in, half out. Like, I'm going to make a decision. Right. And so I have healed a lot. But now it's getting time where I don't want to just start training in December or January and be like, okay, I'm getting ready for season. Like, I'm going to take advantage of fall and winter here in Nevada in Lake Tahoe, train at altitude, get super strong. And then by the time Brooke and I come together, we're just going to start back at square one and fix our technique and have fun and live in greatness every day and just, you know, rebuild ourselves.
Now, have you been able to log? Well, you actually haven't been playing, but do you have plans for any scrimmages, training against other teams? I mean, now that you're relocated, I mean, that might be a little challenging. So getting opponents to scrimmage against might be a new challenge.
No, we're going to make it all easy. You know, it's just like with COVID, like we're selling our house in Manhattan Beach. Like there's been a lot of tears. Our kids just started new school. Like there's been so much change in our lives, but I'm so excited. And Brooke is, you know, kind of relocating back home to Florida to get healthy, to get strong. So when we start, we're like running. But we can train against guys all day long. You know, my husband's one of our coaches and he's an excellent man to play against. You know, it's really hard for a great male player to come and play women. Cause it's just, you know, it's different and you have to be mindful of certain things, but he's awesome. So we have Casey to train against and we'll get some rad players. And then when it comes time to play against women, cause we have to train against women, it's a different game. We're going to make it work, whether we go back to LA or we go to Florida. I'm not worried about it. You know, we're going to do what it takes. And in the interim, we're just going to be home with our people in nature, connected to what's going to fuel us for the journey to Tokyo. Cause we have golden plans, you know, but first things first, we have to win. We have to prepare to win. We have to qualify, you know, and so that's the first thing on the agenda.
Well, the other part of that is the mental component of your game. Is there something that you and Brooke are doing separately, doing together? I mean, because that's obviously a very important part of you being this top rate athlete.
Yeah, no, you know, I think I kind of just mentioned everything. Like we're just, you know, going on a deep dive internally, you know, individually. And then when we do come together, we have a sports psychologist who we work with, who's the best of the best, Michael Gervais.
Yep.
So we will get back online with him. And I assume we'll start, you know, doing that distance wise in a month or so. But no, we're on point, you know. Again, it's just part of mastery is simplicity, you know, and just getting rid of the excess and that which doesn't serve you. And the next couple months and the past couple months have been an excess in minimizing and simplifying and making pure what was, you know, kind of convoluted. And so that process and the mental mission is ongoing, the emotional mission is ongoing. And then once the physical stuff is easy.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of the fun part, the playful part. So, and then we do have to get in competition shape mentally, you know? And so we're speaking to our coaches and we want to make everything have stakes behind it. So we're comfortable being uncomfortable. We're comfortable with the pressure of winning and losing and having, you know, that go to a record of some kind, tracking that stuff. So, we're going to create a structure that puts stress on, that puts us under duress, that allows us to feel the competitive stress so that we can manage it, get comfortable with it and own it.
Well, you and Brooke are definitely more experienced players. So I'm sure that you guys will be able to dial in really quick. So
I think so. You know, we've each tasted dancing together, but it's so few and far between. So I just can't wait to get back with her because she's a special girl. She's all in every way. You know, if something makes her uncomfortable, she almost likes it more. So, and the emotional stuff and the mental stuff, you know, and having these conversations, a lot of people don't do that. You know, they're like, let's just go play volleyball. And we believe to win that gold medal, we have to be deeply connected. And so we're working on that.
Now for our trying to understand the FIVB qualification process for the Olympics, I'm going to ask you this question just for our viewers who aren't as versed in it. And it took me a while to understand what's going on, but where do you and Brooke stand in regards to Olympic qualification? Because it seems there's a pretty tight race, at least in the United States, for those two qualification spots.
Yeah, well, so if the Olympics were today, we would be in. We are the second team in America behind April and Alex. Each country is only allowed two teams, you know, to qualify. And so we're right there. I don't know who's behind us. I think Kelly Clays and Sarah Sponsel are right behind us. I think Kelly Larson and Emily Stockman are right there as well. Betsy's having a baby. And so I think that takes Emily and Betsy kind of out of the picture. So yeah, so to be honest, Rob, I don't think about them whatsoever. Yeah. You know, those teams are all full of wonderful human beings and they make us better and work hard, but we're ahead of them by this much and we want to just double length. So we want to, and I think we're fifth in the world with regard to Olympic ranking. My dream is to qualify as a top four team. Mm-hmm. And we can do that. And so we just need to improve on our finishes from 2019. We have a lot of room for improvement with regard to 4 and 5 stars. So hopefully they add some 5 stars and that'll help us a lot.
Well, you actually mentioned her name here. So I'm going to do a name drop here. Betsy Flint, congratulations to you and Chase.
I know.
And everyone who's listening, contribute to her diaper fund and you could win a Betsy Flint t-shirt or 2 round-trip tickets on JetBlue. So I actually did it last night for her and she's like, no, I'll enter you in the drawing. I'm like, I don't need to go anywhere. And I already have a Betsy Flint t-shirt, so I'm good.
Oh my gosh, how cute. Well, way to be generous. Yeah, Betsy's awesome. It's so cool to see how people creatively, fund their dreams and connect with the community. I think Betsy does a great job. I'm so happy for her. It's just what a beautiful time in life.
Oh, for sure. Hey, let's take a look at some of your off-court stuff you have going on here.
Okay.
It seems that you are still in high demand to be on shows, podcasts like mine, and feature articles. What does it mean to be one of the most sought-after ambassadors in the sport of volleyball for so many years?
Oh, Rob, well, I've just been around for a long time. You know, and Misty and I were lightning in a bottle. You know, the timing of us winning and the promotion that Dick Ebersol and NBC put us on TV, you know, that changed my life, changed our sport. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think when you do well at the Olympics consistently, people just, you become a household name. And I feel so fortunate to have so many opportunities on and off the court. I feel like I've always wanted to transcend the sport of volleyball, just like I want the sport of volleyball to transcend the Olympics, because we deserve for people to know us 365, 24/7, not just 2 weeks out of every 4 years, So I think transcending sport and just kind of unifying with high performers or, excellence and athletes across the band is what I've always wanted. And now I'm in a time in my life where that's happened. We just launched a platform called The Skills, where it's basically a masterclass for sports only. And Sharapova is part of it, Shaun White, Deshaun Jordan, Michael Phelps. And so for me to be part of these incredible humans and athletes is just so amazing. You know, I was able to do Top Chef, which is, I love that show, for the Olympic version. And that was so fun, and hanging out with Diana Taurasi and Tom Colicchio. Like, it's just like my life is so crazy, but I'm so fortunate. And I feel a lot of duty to represent my sport and my country very well. I'm a very proud American. I'm a very proud volleyball player. Both institutions have given me so much, and so to represent those is a gift.
Well, you actually mentioned theskills.com, that platform, which is one of the things I was going to ask you about anyways, but how did you come about getting involved in theskills.com? And I love the title of your segment, Volleyball Life and More ...
those dots are important. When I sign every volleyball, I put USA gold 04, 08, 12, ... and bronze 16. So, you got to leave the room open for more. The Skills reached out. Omar, who is the CEO of Skills, reached out and he said, we're getting together a great team, including Larry Fitzgerald. And there's so many great athletes. Mm-hmm. And we put together a class with Casey and with Q&A. And I think Alex Kleiman, I just saw that she's part of the kid as well, which is so exciting. And I've learned from the best in the world. I've learned from playing against the best in the world, from playing with the best in the world, and been trained by them. And so to share my wisdom and my learnings with other people to see if it resonates with them is such a beautiful gift. It really mirrors what we're doing at P1440, where we're training the holistic athlete, and it's training you to be the hero of your own journey on and off the court, and to really train leaders. And so with volleyball, you have to, since we are considered an Olympic sport, that engine shows up once every 4 years. It's really important for the individual to create an engine behind themselves. You know, so for me, partnering with the skills, partnering with Visa and Lululemon and KT Tape, who promote me in the sport, starting 1440, like the engine behind me is going to help everyone I'm involved with. And so I was grateful to have the opportunity with the skills, because when you're aligned with humans like that, like you transcend. You know, it's like cross marketing, cross promotion for the game, for myself, for my brand. And it's awesome.
Well, as a diehard volleyball guy, I've got to definitely plug all the volleyball players involved with the skills, because you, your husband, Casey, and then you have Alex Kleinman, and then Rachel Adams of the women's indoor national team has also got a piece on it.
Oh, yay. So, oh, that's rad. They're smart, man. The skills, Omar and his team do it right, and they picked awesome human beings. And oh, that's awesome for Rachel. Yeah, I can't wait to learn. Like we moved to Tahoe, so I want to take, you know, Sean White's class, and I know there's a female snowboarder who I want to check her out. And just, I mean, every physio I've ever had says get in the pool, it's going to make you stronger, so might as well go learn from Michael Phelps, you know. So I'm excited for all of it.
Well, just in case our listeners and viewers may have missed what the skills is, can you just encapsulate what that is in one quick sentence? Because I was going to ask you, Mike, that sounds like a great little platform. So if you just describe what it is really quick.
So theskills.com, it's a masterclass for sports, period. You know, masterclass does cooking, film, all these things. The skills is for sports only. And you have the goats of every sport leading the way. So, and it's a lot of it, Rob, like you said, it's technique, it's skills, it's drills, but the best part of it for me, and I think for every human, is the storytelling and the life skills that we all teach. Mm-hmm. That's where the real juice is.
You're building in the depth there.
Yeah, no, totally. Well, you need to own it, you know, like you have to integrate things to own them, and skills is going to allow people to do that.
Yep. Well, you actually mentioned a little bit, you have a video bomb. That's totally fine, because my kid may come in too.
We do. Oh. Well, I got Luke and I got Case.
Oh, Casey. It's a Casey video bomb too. I love it.
Hi, brother. Case.
How are you? We're doing a podcast.
Oh, nice.
You're live on the podcast.
Right on. I'm just going for a run. Don't let me interrupt.
Take the dog. No. Hey, well, let's actually, you mentioned a little bit about P1440, because obviously I had the honor and privilege of being a part of some of the events and just following what you were doing, the pros you're bringing in from internationally, and the people and the players you're developing. It's obviously being a founding partner of that digital platform, providing even more developmental resources and improved players to grow the game. Can you just share the vision for those who aren't as familiar with P1440 and the future plans that you and Casey, since he's a co-founder as well, for P1440?
No, we're in this together for sure. We have the team concept in mind, whatever we do. And with 1440, you know, we want to develop the athlete, and we want to develop the game. We want to service the game from the juniors, grassroots, all the way on up to the elite of the elite. And so we have a lot of juniors tournaments indoors, largely beach right now, but we're incorporating the indoor world because they're hungry and in need of service. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of love and support and resources going to developing the game with the semi-pro athletes who are transitioning from college to professional. And then, like you said, last year we had our pro challenges where we, you know, brought in 8 of the best teams in the world, played round robin, and they got to make a little money, compete, and prime themselves for competition. So the bigger side of us is our digital side, because we want to scale. We want to be global. Those events, those live events are gnarly. They're expensive and they're very finite. And so we have created some digital programs that are incredible, Rob. This summer we had 2 different virtual camps that trained athletes, body, mind, spirit, and volleyball. You know, Stein and Casey led the volleyball programming. I did the mindfulness, and we had our strength coach, Casey and mine of 20 years, Tommy Knox, doing the strength training, and it developed athletes. People called us and they said, we made the team where we were training for a tryout, and we made the team, or we won the tournament, and we just felt better in ourselves. So that was really beautiful. Right now we're developing a program. The working title is called Journey, and we're inviting people to share in the journey of their lives together. And we're trying to develop them to be the hero of their own stories. Just like I know to win that gold medal, I need to be the hero of my story and to write my own story. And so we're doing this on the digital platform, but we have a lot of live interaction. So it's a deep and really meaningful experience. But we have juniors tournaments, we have juniors showcases. We're actually in the process of planning an experience in Ohio in November, just to give, you know, to give, like we talked about, every ounce of knowledge that we have. There's so many voices and there's so many different ways to achieve excellence. And we just want to share our ways that have helped us in the hopes of, you know, helping people achieve their dreams.
That's awesome. Any hopes for any developmental or professional exhibition events in the Tahoe area?
Well, we just moved here, so hopefully. Casey's like dialed in with TK, Tim Kelly, who just runs sports here. What a great place up here. You know, Rob, we want to get back to the Pro Challenge system. We want to prime people before the Olympic journey. So hopefully, you know, February, March, we can have that. But with COVID, everything's kind of, it's hard to plan actual events. You know, so that's why the focus is largely digital. But we're ready, man. We're teed up. And the beautiful thing about being a newish company and in a niche sport is that you can turn on a dime. You're not this behemoth that has to, you know, like have all these moving parts. Like, we're pretty nimble and adaptive. So we have great plans. But the plan is just fundamentally, the plan is to grow the game, to service the game like it's never been serviced, and to create more opportunities. Because when the athletes have more opportunities, there's freedom. You know, I believe right now part of the problem in the game is that everyone's stuck in the system. You know, they only have one or two choices, which basically means you're a slave to those two choices. So if we can create abundance and more opportunity, then the competition raises the stakeholders and what they have to provide to the athletes, and the athletes will benefit.
Awesome. Hey, actually, some news had just broken. You had a renewed or nude partnership with Visa come about within the last 2 or 3 weeks. I saw the announcement, like, oh, that's pretty awesome. So can you share a little bit about that?
No, well, Visa's been awesome. You know, they're obviously a global leader in all things finance. And I've been part of Team Visa since 2004. They were the ones who put Misty and I in the snow volleyball commercial. If people go to YouTube and check it out, it's so funny. So I've been part of them for every Olympic since 2004. And I'm so proud to be with them. You know, they did a great thing in 2016 with the refugee team. You know, a lot of athletes couldn't play for their home countries, and Visa supported their athletes. And as you know, the USOC is privately funded. Our government does not subsidize. And so companies like Visa, like KT Tape, you know, like the people who get behind our NGB, that's so important, you know, because without that support, the athletes suffer and they can't really chase their dreams and win gold medals because they have to go have 9-to-5 jobs. And, you know, it's just harder. And so people like Visa, like, they help all the contenders, all the gold medal contenders, all the Olympic qualifying contenders. And it's a really meaningful thing. And so I'm very proud to be with them.
That sounds incredible. Great, great partnership with a Visa for you, huh?
Yeah. All my partners are incredible. I mean, I'm partnered with the California Almond Board. And they're so rad. They're such amazing human beings, and I live off of almonds, so it's so fun. And KT Tape and Lululemon. I'm a blessed girl. You know, I really don't take it for granted. I feel very fortunate.
Well, they picked a great ambassador to represent their brand. So, hey, you know, speaking of getting out there, I noticed that you are the first podcast for the Good Tidings Foundation. I happen to see that come up in my social feed today. Want to share a little bit about that?
Oh, you're
How'd you get connected to the Good Tidings Foundation?
Well, I love them. So the Good Tidings Foundation is out of the Bay Area. And what they do is that they go into underserved communities and they refurbish or build courts, baseball fields, football fields. I've built 6 beach volleyball courts with them that we gift to a school or to a community.
Oh, wow.
It's incredible. And so Larry Harper is a CEO. He's a dear friend. I've been working with him since I think 05 or 06. We've built, I think, 4 courts in NorCal, 2 in SoCal. And we're growing the game. You know, I mean, there's 18 scholarships in volleyball, 6 beach, 12 indoor. Like, we need to diversify our sport, you know, introduce the sport to inner city kids and kids who don't necessarily get to try, you know, play club in these things. And so it's so beautiful. So Larry started a podcast. If you want inspiration, like, subscribe to his podcast. He's incredible. He does great things. And dream come true. It was fun to talk. It's been obnoxious how many podcasts I've done. So I appreciate that you still want to talk to me, but it's been fun as well.
It's just an excuse to get to chat with you. That's what I wanted.
Oh, well, I miss you. Yeah, this is fun. Totally selfish.
I wanted to ask you, I kind of forgot to stick it in the on the court stuff, but what would it mean to you to win your fifth medal?
Oh, well, it will mean everything, Rob. It's you know, it's just what a beautiful, audacious, bold goal to have. You know, I don't care how old you are. I don't care if it's your first Olympics or if it's your sixth. It takes courage and bravery and a lot of humility to chase these big, you know, beautiful dreams. And one of my favorite quotes is fortune favors the bold. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love it. Like the size of my dreams, it inspires me and it pushes me. And, you know, it makes the journey too just so fun and just to daydream every day. Like I live in victory every day. I live on top of the podium in Tokyo every day with Brooke in my mind. And it makes every day meaningful. And the sessions that I don't want to go to the gym and it's, you know, it's, I don't want to wake up at 4:30 and meditate or 6:30, whatever I'm doing, like it makes everything doable because that's my North Star. And then the whole purpose of having that as a North Star is to become the person capable of, and that's where the real richness in life is, you know, is the becoming, right. The becoming capable. And so, like the actual going for it is the cherry on top, but it's the becoming, you know, journey that has my heart.
That's so awesome. Hey, some quick personal questions are like one line answers, but just to get that even more personal side of Carrie Walsh Jennings. Okay. What jam or tune gets KWJ going before matches?
Another One Bites the Dust, Freddie Mercury.
All-time favorite books or book?
Oh, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Favorite movie?
I got two, It's a Wonderful Life and True Romance.
Favorite quote? I think you just said it though, in their last, my last
book. Oh, no, well, that's not my favorite. Well, lately, you cannot be a victim and a master at the same time. It's not the weight you carry, it's the way you carry it. The word abracadabra is one of my favorites because it means I create what I speak, and mm-hmm. which, you know, that's powerful to me. Amen. I, you know, my boy taught me that it means I believe or so, and so it is. And mm-hmm. the thought that I've ended every prayer my whole life with I believe, like, warms my heart. So those are a few of my favorites.
So sweet to hear. And is Brett Almasan Cesar one of your favorite relatives? I haven't seen him in a few years in the CIF state finals. I'm not knocking on Archbishop Mitty. I'm just, I usually see him. I did see him at Durango last year though. So that's not entirely true.
Brad is incredible. And so is Mimi. Yeah. Yeah. No, he's grandfathered in at this point.
And final question, more of a, I've been doing this on all my podcasts and vodcasts, but especially in our time of history with this global pandemic, racial unrest, and trying to adjust or cope with current societal issues, what advice or encouragement do you have for our listeners and viewers?
Oh man, Rob.
I know it's kind of a bomb, but.
Well, no, I think it's such a beautiful question and there's so much. Fundamentally, I feel like it's up to the individual to be the change they want to see in the world. Don't wait for someone else to do what you want done. Don't wait for a vaccine to make you healthy. Be healthy, live healthy. If you're seeing social unrest, you know, be an answer. I'm really an advocate for promoting what you love, not bashing what you hate. I think that's so much more powerful. And I think right now a lot of people are bashing what they hate and there's a lot of violence and there's a lot of, Casey said it really well the other day. He's like, it feels like we're in an estranged world. And, you know, like imagine you have an estranged brother or sister or something and it doesn't feel right. There's love there, but there's something between them. And to me, it's up to us to break through that. You know, I think it's going to be an easier coming together than we think. And I think largely 95% of the world is really waking up to the fact that we are so united, mm-hmm. but it's just those people who want us divided, I think, who are winning a little bit right now. So I guess, sorry, my long answer to your wonderful question is it's up to you, nothing outside of you. And if we can all live that way, then, you know, we will have the peace and the harmony and the excellence that we all want.
Oh, that's an incredible answer. I love hearing it. And I mean, I cannot thank you enough for coming on the BioVolley podcast and spending the amount of time that you have with me and just to have this conversation, because like I said in the intro, I mean, you're one of the most favorite ambassadors that I see fans flocking to, and you're so just welcoming to them. And I can see the joy that you place in their hearts just by spending that little investment of time with them. So I appreciate all that you've done for the game, not only accomplishment wise, but from personality and as an ambassador of truly growing the game in the deepest places.
Well, Rob, that means so much. And thank you. I could say all the same things for you. So thank you so much.